There are many, many points on which I would like to question you about. Maybe the first one. I'll put words on a pure body experience. I would say a pure body experience isn't your what are you looking for? Put words on a pure body experience. So on something obviously miss words. How can you say it?
How can I describe a purely body experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be a sort of rough approximation.
Yeah.
There's something lost in translation. Whether or not that's a sort of failure, I think it is, you know, a limitation, let's say, in philosophical thought that is best achieved, probably, in the arts, in cinema, I think, especially. So, you know, but these things have to work in tandem. This is why there's such a felicitous relationship between philosophy and aesthetics. Not that I'm suggesting that philosophy provides sort of conceptual foundation, but I think they, when working in tandem, can, you know, sort of give articulation to what you describe as your bodily experience.
So maybe miss it.
Sorry, pardon?
So maybe miss it.
Yeah. I mean, I think something is missing, especially because, of course, these childbirth and, you know, it's a very enigmatic experience.
For me.
Yeah, for those who witness it and for those who undertake it. And, it's retroactively analysed and retroactively experienced. Certainly in my experience of witnessing it. There's a sort of deferment, sort of piecing together that is peculiar to very not atypical, but very heightened limit experiences. But to some extent, I think are operational, or they're all along in the course of everyday experience. Where, we have to sort of repackage and make sense of, the operations and the organization of perceptual life.
Something I just put. It's about the beginning of your text. Vous m'entendez? Are you okay to say we only have our own alien made by our own design, and we have to try to give child to him or to do something around metamorphosis with this alien, but it's not only about a real childbirth, it's also about the alien we all have. Am I clear on that? Not really.
I mean, my sense is that when I'm talking about alien here, I'm talking, it's not a contingent dimension of who we are, it's a constitutive aspect of the structure. So it's not something that is integrated or harmonized into, or let's say, sort of developmentally owned by some process of sort of self-education or, sort of healing or something like this. It's a constitutive aspect that articulates itself from time to time, but otherwise is tacit and prevents and generates a kind of fundamental void, a fundamental gap, in terms, at the core of the core of subjective life. And that point alone, I mean, I think issues in within the phenomenological tradition, it's, you know, it's often the case, especially in humanistic variants, that unity is a sort of givenness of perceptual life. So I slightly, I sort of deviate from that, or depart from that. Does that get to your question?
We agree, in fact.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
So,
I wanted to ask you a question that go the way the first question here asked. As you speak about like body experience that can be experienced, why the use of fictional stuff, of horror movie and all this kind of stuff, because how do you relate to metaphoric narrative and real body experience? And also my second remark will be with the memory, as you wasn't there yesterday, but with the memory as what been said yesterday about emotional state and metamorphosis. We saw that in Ovid it's the emotional state that brings the metamorphosis, and that here you more speaking about metamorphosis that will bring a sentiment of horror or something like that. So.
Thanks very much. So just on that second point, I mean, as just to sort of continue what I was talking to you about last night, so within this talk, obviously the theme of metamorphosis pops up once or twice, but to my mind, it's implicit in a number of ways, and conceptually and affectively. And affectively, I mean, or conceptually, you have this distinction that Merleau-Ponty talks about and that I discussed between these different levels of bodily existence. And again, not to sort of harbour on about phenomenology, but it's sort of often taken for granted in Merleau-Ponty and in Merleau-Ponty's scholarship that there's an integration, that there's a synthesis of this sort of impersonal, pre-personal, atemporal aspect of perceptual life and the contemporary articulation of subjectivity within the present. And there's also a kind of neglect of the affective relationship between these two, you know, wildly distinct realms. So there's little discussion on to what extent does the elemental nature of a subject fragment or issue a threat to the integrity of who I think I am. And I'm very interested in that question, and very interested in looking at limit cases or limit experiences that bring that question into relief, into expression. I think how one responds to that question does hinge upon one's affective relationship to transformation, to metamorphosis. And I think if there is a kind of fluid interplay between different attributes of the structure of subjectivity, then metamorphosis is a process to be embraced, and it's a process to be, and it does have a sort of benevolent aesthetic tonality to it. But in a lot of the sort of body horror films, which I'm very interested in, metamorphosis presents a challenge, and it presents a challenge to the narrative of selfhood. Different aspects of bodily life come to the foreground. The descent, and sometimes destroy, you know, the sort of idea of subjectivity or selfhood in possession of itself. You know, obviously Cronenberg is sort of a master of that, because within the course of any of his classical films, you have a whole arc of different evolving conceptual and affective configurations of that process of metamorphosis. And to go back to your first question, I mean, I just don't think, you know, that's why those film is so important, to give that kind of sense of temporal duration to metamorphosis that conceptual thought alone simply cannot achieve, because it's too abstract. Does that answer your question?
Stephanie?
Last question. I'm very interested by the notion of flesh, and I'd like to know, how do we start with the notion of flesh in Merleau-Ponty, like we talked about together before, like a notion ontological, and how do we start with that notion ontological to go in the matter, flesh, who is very physical? How can we make the transition?
Thanks very much. It's a very complex issue, the sort of issue of flesh and Merleau-Ponty and what he meant by it, and the relationship between the corporeality of flesh, the particular articulation of flesh, and flesh as an ontological concept. He famously says that the body is an exemplary expression of flesh. So there is this sense in Merleau-Ponty that he does, I mean, it's pretty clear, I think, that he privileges the human body as a sort of vehicle of a much broader ontological idea of flesh, and through studying the structure of being in the world, as he has it, we can gain insight, we can gain some sense of what is at stake in the ontological idea of flesh. And for him, you know, he sort of goes through this elaboration, this whole sort of series of negative characterizations of what the flesh is not, trying to avoid reducing it to some kind of philosophically traditional idea of substance in a sort of Cartesian sense, before advocating this kind of pre-Socratic ancient idea of flesh as an element. So he wants to think of it as a sort of constitutive structure of the world out of which things evolve. And he has this sort of very rich, evocative accounts of how this is taken up, for example, in the relationship between animals and humans, the sort of idea of this kinship and anticipation between animality and humanity. And also within the landscape, and especially in the landscape as it's depicted within painting, and especially within Cézanne, for example, is very important for him. So, but metamorphosis and flesh are definitely very pertinent and very very much related, because he goes on to describe this idea that not only we, but everything is made up of flesh. So he has a sort of idea, which is sort of taken up in a Cronenbergian sense of the world is flesh, and flesh is world. So I mean, there's a lot more to say on that, but perhaps it's just sort of leads a bit too far away. But does that help get to your question in any sense?